Here's something nobody tells you. Dating isn't supposed to be this hard. Yet here we are, collectively exhausted by the endless swiping, the performative texting, the first date small talk that somehow feels both scripted and terrifying. We've turned romance into a second shift, complete with strategic planning, personal branding, and quarterly performance reviews. But what if the problem isn't you? It's that we've been asking the wrong question entirely. Instead of, how do I make someone like me, we should be asking, what do I actually want? This shift from proving your worth to discovering your needs is the foundation of what therapist Jeff Gunther calls big dating energy. It's not about becoming more dateable, it's about becoming more you. Before you can show up authentically on dates, you need to understand why you keep choosing the same wrong person in different packaging. The answer usually traces back to your childhood dining table. Your parents weren't just teaching you table manners, they were programming your entire relational operating system. Every time they fought and made up, or fought and didn't, every time they noticed you were upset, or didn't, they were writing code that still runs in your adult relationships. Here's a perspective that might sting, but also liberate. Your parents did the best they could, but you deserved better. This isn't about blame, it's about freedom. When your mom gave you the silent treatment or your dad exploded over small things, they weren't trying to mess you up. They were just repeating patterns from their own childhoods. But those patterns became your blueprint for what normal looks like in relationships. Capitalism shapes how you love. Competition, individualism, and disposability infiltrate relationships, suggesting someone better exists one swipe away. Notice our language. We're on the market. We invest in relationships. We calculate someone's value. Romance becomes transactions with cost-benefit analyses and exit strategies. Pop culture amplifies this. Disney sold love at first sight. Reality shows manufacture connections through competition. Bachelor contestants fall in love after three conversations, setting impossible standards. Social media adds another layer. Everyone's relationship looks perfect through vacation photos and anniversary tributes. What you don't see? The airport fight, the simmering resentment, the compromises. Your childhood created your attachment style, your relationship reflex. When conflict hits, do you move toward your partner or away? These aren't conscious choices, but survival strategies from when you were too young to know better. Siblings provided your first training ground, and those dynamics echo through every romantic conflict. The goal isn't perfect healing before dating, just making the unconscious conscious. When you recognize your urge to flee arguments as your 8-year-old self escaping parental screaming, you create space to choose differently. Dating without knowing what you want is like wandering through a grocery store without a list. You'll end up with impulse purchases that look good but leave you unsatisfied. Most people approach dating backward. They meet someone, feel attracted, then try to convince themselves this person meets their needs. Instead, get clear on your needs first, then look for someone who actually has those qualities. This requires brutal honesty about your defense mechanisms, those protective strategies you developed to avoid getting hurt. Maybe you ghost at the first sign of conflict, become clingy when you sense distance, or pick fights to test whether someone will stay. These defenses once kept you safe, but now they sabotage the very connection you crave. Beneath every defense mechanism lurks a core fear, abandonment, vulnerability, or that if someone really knew you, they'd leave. These fears determine who you're attracted to and how you behave. If you fear abandonment, you'll probably attract avoidant partners who confirm that fear. Create three lists. First, what qualities do you need to feel safe with your specific fears? Second, what's non-negotiable? Kindness, integrity, shared values, empathy. Third, what are your absolute deal breakers? Dishonesty, cruelty, fundamental value misalignments, abusive behavior. These lists become your compass when attraction clouds your judgment. Dating apps are designed to keep you single. Match Group owns virtually every major platform, Tinder, Hinge, OkCupid, Bumble, profiting from your loneliness using slot machine psychology. Their business model requires you hopeful enough to keep swiping, but frustrated enough to keep paying. Create authentic profiles with vulnerability. Include candid photos showing your actual life, not just flattering angles from 2019. Be transparent about politics, religion, kids, substances. Yes, this filters people out. That's the point. Every honest left swipe saves wasted time. Game the algorithm. Send likes, respond quickly, maintain conversations. Broaden your search criteria beyond height and age ranges that eliminate 90% of potential matches. Here's the secret. You don't actually need dating apps. Equal numbers of people still meet partners offline. Real-life meetings offer irreplaceable advantages. Body language, voice, actual chemistry instead of curated photos. Leave your house. Go places you genuinely enjoy. Join hobby groups, volunteer, attend concerts. The goal isn't hunting for dates, but building a life you love. Connection follows naturally when you're doing things that light you up. First dates compress every human emotion into 2 hours. Your only job? Decide if you want a second date. Before going, review your needs and deal breakers. Then gas yourself up. Be authentically you. Weird interests, awkward jokes, genuine opinions included. Not the performed version you think they'll like. Throw expectations in the garbage. Text chemistry doesn't always translate in person. Pick locations where you can be yourself. Coffee shops offer flexible timing and easy exits. Walks feel less intense. Bars provide social lubricant if you drink. Activities like mini golf create built-in conversation topics. Nervous? Take 3 deep breaths before walking in. Hold a cold drink against your pulse points. Prepare a few questions in advance. The period between first date and relationship status kills most connections. Everyone's performing their best selves, making red flags harder to spot. Watch for avoidant communication, chaotic unpredictability, emotional immaturity, love bombing, and all my exes are crazy narratives. Green flags matter more. Clear communication, following through on promises, emotional maturity, sincere apologies, trauma awareness, and genuine curiosity about you. When someone isn't right, end it quickly and kindly. Under 6 dates, a text works. I've enjoyed getting to know you, but I don't feel a romantic connection. Before the talk, ensure you've deleted dating apps, reviewed your compatibility lists, and trusted your timing. This isn't about forcing commitment. It's about honest communication. Discuss boundaries around cheating, privacy, security needs, and even potential breakups. Yes, discussing endings during the I love you phase feels morbid, but it establishes you're both committed to handling conflict respectfully. Welcome to the honeymoon phase, that blissful period when your partner seems perfect. This intoxicating stage is necessary, but don't make irreversible decisions now. No moving in, marriages, babies, joint ventures, or matching tattoos. Eventually, after your first real fight, the honeymoon ends. Many people lily pad from relationship to relationship, bailing once things get real. Lasting love means finding security and deep connection more appealing than constant excitement. During conflict, we judge ourselves by intentions while judging others by impact. This asymmetry fuels most fights. Good intentions don't erase hurtful actions. Instead of defending with, "I didn't mean it that way," acknowledge impact. "I'm sorry I hurt you." Past traumas surface during fights. You're not mad about dishes. You're triggered by patterns from previous relationships or childhood. When you recognize this, pause and share the root cause. The fastest resolution? Take turns sharing feelings without attacking while the other validates, then switch. Breakups devastate, whether you're doing the dumping or getting dumped. There's rarely a perfect moment. What matters is listening to your gut, that persistent knowing things need to end. If intuition fails, evaluate objectively. Constant criticism, contempt, defensiveness, disappeared positive interactions, dead attraction, disrespect, lack of support, broken trust, lost sense of self. When ready to break up, be considerate but direct. "I've been thinking a lot and I want to break up." One cruel irony, the vulnerability of breakup conversations can feel bonding, making you doubt your decision. Don't cave. It prolongs the inevitable. Getting dumped feels like the world ending. you're stuck between your old self and whoever comes next. But this will pass. Take a break before dating again. Jumping immediately into new connections masks feelings temporarily, but grief resurfaces as irrational anger, sudden sadness, or inability to connect. You're ready when you can think about your ex without significant pain, feel content alone, have rediscovered individual interests, want connection rather than avoiding loneliness, and have learned from your past. Just because a relationship ended doesn't mean it was wasted. Each connection clarifies what works, what doesn't, and how you show up. Relationships end not from failure, but from growth. Dating is legitimately hard. The apps are rigged, capitalism has poisoned expectations, and we're all carrying childhood wounds. But beneath the exhausting performance lies something worth fighting for: genuine connection with another flawed, complex, beautiful human. The path isn't about becoming more dateable or fixing everything broken. It's about getting clear on what you need, showing up authentically, and finding someone whose flaws complement yours. That's not settling, that's wisdom.